Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning, 9 o'clock. It is Thursday, May 19th?
Yeah, May 19th. Gotcha.
I had to count it real quick.
I know, it flies by.
Sorry.
That's all good.
considering my anniversary was yesterday, I probably should have known what month it was.
It happens, man.
It's cool, though. I can see it clear in the bottom of my screen, even though it's small, because of going to see Dr. Mark Michelson over 20 years ago. Go to MichelsonLaserVision.com for more information or call 205-969-8100. Set up a free consultation. I did that, thankfully, and I did it for Dr. Mark Michelson because I knew he was the first surgeon to perform LASIK in the state of Alabama, national pioneer in the field. Now Dr. Jennifer Michelson have joined in there at UAB Highlands for comfortable and convenient care. When you select Michelson Laser Vision for your treatment, the cost you're quoted for treatment, you'll pay that for everything. Surgery, recovery, post-op visits, there's no add-ons, no hidden fees, and there are a variety of easy and affordable payment plans available. They're members of our community, rooted right here in Birmingham, dedicated to serving you. And I can tell you firsthand that I went from legally blind to feeling like I had perfect vision, and I still feel like I have perfect vision today thanks to Michelson Laser Vision. Give them a call today, 205-969-8100, or visit MichelsonLaserVision.com. He joins us every Thursday. Thanks to our friends at Coke and Piggly Wiggly, it's the coach, Wimp Sanderson. Coach, great to have you.
Man.
How you doing?
Hey, yeah, I am. Greg.
He's not here. He's absent. He's absent today, Coach. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's not here. Okay, no. Well, good. I'll tell you, I am just covered up with Auburn people. I'm down at Jimmy Raines doing his banquet, as you know he does every year. We give money, or he gives money to kids to go to college. And I MC it, and everybody else is Auburn, Sonny, and Cliff Ellis and Jimmy, and so I'm covered up with all these Auburn people.
Sounds like a great event. Sounds like a great place to be.
It is a great event. I worked for Jimmy for a year after I left Alabama. We have been close friends for a long, long time, so I'm enjoying it.
Sounds like they got all the Auburn royalty down there. Like anybody important that has an Auburn background, yeah. Sounds like they're down there right
anybody
now.
Anybody that gets up, stands up, and talks Auburn but me.
Exactly. I'm the only one. Anybody that anyone Auburn would care about is at that event right now,
yep.
It sounds like.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. But a lot of their coaches are gone. I think the football coach had something, and Bruce Pearl is gone out of country. And athletic director, I don't know what he's going to do. Anyway, it's a big deal.
But, yeah, I mean, even former players, I'm sure, that are in the media that Auburn people might listen to, they're all down there today.
Yeah, we got a lot of coaches.
They brought them all.
Well, people don't want to hear this. So they want me to, I guess they want to talk about what Nick Saban said last night.
I'm actually interested in how everybody that has been affiliated with Auburn before that is might be important or have something to say is down there with you guys, all of them, every last one of them. So what did you make of Coach Saban choosing this platform to say some of the things that he did about name, image, and likeness last night?
I was surprised to use that platform. But what he said, I think, was correct. I think the point that we get to now is where do they draw the – we've already figured out that some schools did things at that particular time there was no rule, I guess. And now the rule has been set down. At one point in time was that rule set down. And are people going to start abiding by it now? I don't know exactly. But he told pretty good exactly his feelings. I was with him the other night at his golf tournament. And he was concerned about the collectives that Alabama was going to get. Versus other schools. I think he feels that the collectives at Alabama should be good. He didn't say this yesterday, but he said it around me because of what Alabama has done thus far, because what they have done in the past that people ought to, regardless of whether the money is the kind of money that the A&Ms and Texas people have, it should be that they give because of what they are doing now and what they have done. So that to me, behind the scenes, that was kind of interesting. But what he said was at a platform that surprised me a little bit. I don't know what your callers have said or what your feeling is.
We've had people kind of on both sides. I'm not surprised in his stance on it, really. And I think there are a lot of coaches that feel very similar ways. I was a little bit surprised in, you know, actually naming Texas A&M, actually naming Jackson State, actually naming Miami. That took me off guard just a little bit, Coach.
Yeah, I would agree, especially when you know, Jackson State and them say they're going to get after him for that. That's the only thing. Only thing he did was say what he read in the media, what he read in the paper. And as you and I know, anytime we read something in the paper, it's always secondhand. It's never firsthand. It's always secondhand. It's not always correct. And so him saying that, he was trying to get his point over. Of course, naturally, he got A&M ready to play him when they play him in football, no doubt about that. And mostly it was all about football. So, you know, he stirred up a pretty good pot. But he was correct in what he said. Now, what does that hold for the future? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. The transfer portal and the NIL don't go together real well because you run some people off because you don't need them now, and then that person leaves you because he's getting more money on the other end. And his statement was every time the NCAA tried to do something, they get sued, and so they can't do much to stop anything that's happening. And he's correct in that.
Wimp Sanderson, the coach, joins us each and every week on the Bud Light Hotline, thanks to our friends at Coke and Piggly Wiggly. When you think about where we are, there's a word that was used by Nick Saban. I've heard other coaches use it, saying that this is not sustainable, and the sustainability will not be there with how things are being handled right now. Coach, why do you think that even matters? I mean, is that not how it could potentially work itself out? If it's not sustainable, then it'll go away. If it is, then it'll continue being what it is. Why are coaches concerned with that?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't think he feels like that. There's so many schools that can't do what some other schools can do, and if it becomes so big in recruiting that you're going to have such a split and such a difference in teams, that maybe it's not going to be as enjoyable. I don't, you know, Vanderbilt's losing a quarterback. They lost a lineman to Alabama. They're losing this guy and that guy. Of course, Vanderbilt's maybe not be a good example because they're kind of struggling to start with. But it's not sustainable to do what he says, what they have done in the past. So the NCAA has come to a point where they're saying that, you know, when this is not the way it was meant to be. It was meant for these guys to get, you know, to get money with their abilities to do what they can do. But as far as promising them something before they do it, in which A&M has done, that'll, you know, we're having our meeting. I'm playing a little golf tournament in Gulf Shores next week with some group, and Nick will be there. And then they're going right into Memorial Day. They're going right into the conference meeting in Destin. That'd be a pretty big stink when all those football coaches walk into the same room.
I think if you put that on pay-per-view, we would shatter records.
I don't know if there'd be a lot of handshaking. I don't know if there'd be a lot of handshaking going on.
Probably might be a few that skip one another, I think.
Let me ask you this football question. You may think it's I can't quite figure it out. When you have an offensive staff meeting, we know that football coaches, we think about head football coaches, they're kind of offensive-minded or defensive-minded. And so let's just say when Auburn has their offensive staff meeting, does the head coach who is offensive-minded go in and talk with them about what they're going to run offensively? I know the offensive line coach is in there, the wideout coach is in there. The running back coach, I'm sure, is in. All of the offensive staff is in there. I guess even the analyst. Does the head coach just go in and listen, or does he go in and say what he wants to run offensively?
I think, first off, I don't think all head coaches are there. I think the best head coaches are, and I think all head coaches should be in all those meetings, offense, defense, special teams, whatever it is, because it's their team. they should at least be aware of what's happening. Now, could there be subsidiary meetings with the OC, the O-line coach, receivers coach, running backs coach? Yeah, sure. But the big side of the ball meetings, the head coach needs to always be there. I think it depends on who it is. I think if it were, you know, if it's Billy Napier and he calls plays, he probably don't have a lot to say. If it's Harsin and he could call plays, he probably has a lot to say. If it's Kirby Smart in the offensive meeting, he may just chime in every now and then and say, well, I would throw this at you if you did this, or I would cover it that way. You know, what are you going to do when I check to this? And just kind of maybe offer what he wants to see or thinks, or, you know, where the direction of certain things should go. But I think they all still have a voice in those meetings, Coach. It's just how loud is it and how much do they want to really interject? Because, you know, there are some coaches that have just said, you know, okay, like Nick has said, Bill O'Brien, you call the offense, it's yours. But Coach Saban's going to want it to be a certain way. Like he's told us in meetings before, it's the same offense he's been running. So like Bill had to come in and learn that offense. So because it's the same offense, Nick knows it. He can go in there and say, you shouldn't use tight end set there. You know, don't motion the tight end across the line of scrimmage there because my linebacker's already in a good spot and you're just not going to do anything.
Well, I'm not. I was just wondering, Brian, let Mike Bobo go. Which is, I'm not trying to get on Auburn, but I'm a bunch of Auburn people all talk, as you know. Was that because he called the wrong plays? And this is an elementary question, but it's very interesting, I think, to listeners and to me. He called the wrong play. He didn't like what he called at certain times. They did, you know, if they didn't G and Hall, why didn't he call it himself? Can you kind of explain that? I mean, I'm not trying to get for you to get too deep in it, but it's interesting to me.
No, I think that there are probably some heated moments in a lot of those meetings as far as side of the ball meetings. Would not be surprised if, especially in a situation like at Auburn last year, where there was some back and forth as to, you know, why do we do this? Why do we do that? Yeah, I think there are other times that if things are going well that maybe you get a little bit less conversation. But, I think it can get really heated. And I think when you hear stories about, hey, coaches being difficult to work with or certain guys not wanting to work with them, it's a similar deal to the boosters, Coach, in which, you know, some of the head coaches, they kind of overstepped their boundaries just a little bit. Like, you know, if Gus Malzahn was going in there telling Kevin Steele what to call and how to call it, he might look at Gus and say, no, man, like you hired me to do this. I'm going to go do this.
Yeah.
Now it becomes really complicated when, like you said, a Brian Harsin who wanted to run a certain offense, knows his offense, can call it if he wanted to, did last year towards the end, and can go in there and have a conversation with Bobo about it, who was calling it, and because he has, I'm sure, very different thoughts. And, yeah, I would be willing to wager, I've heard stories about how some of those get very heated. And then you have other times that there are other folks walking around the building. And I've heard stories about that, previous coaches that step in and get on the whiteboard or ask people why they're not doing certain things or why the quarterback, no quarterback should lead a team in rushing, things of that nature. I've heard those stories as well.
Okay. Well, that's interesting to me. I just, you know, of course, the big topic is NIL and transfer portal, and the biggest thing now, if we switch back to that, is
I'll ask you this. This is what I wanted to ask you as it pertains to that.
Okay, go ahead. Sure.
How would you handle this if you were Jimbo Fisher moving forward?
I would handle it very lightly. I would probably. When the media got a hold of me, just say we did what we needed to do in order to get the very best players that we could. There was no rule against it, if I need to say something. Or I would say, you know, I really don't have any comment on what other coaches say about what we did. We think we did it in the right way at that particular time. I'd say it one of those two ways.
Does it change your opinion at all? The message that was living, we didn't hear a lot from Nate Oates, but Mike Rodak was with us earlier, and he's got a quote from Oates in his story that's now up. We've got some people that have been very supportive. We need to get more people that are going to support the whole concept of name, image, likeness. It's here. It's a reality. Kids in Alabama aren't able to profit off their name, image, likeness like they are at some other schools. It's going to hurt us in recruiting and everything. It's just the fact of the matter. when you hear things like that and what Saban said, and you know that it was $1,000 per seat last night, $5,000 for a VIP option, does that change your thoughts as into maybe what exactly Nick Saban was attempting to accomplish?
No, maybe. He just wanted to, I don't know whether I can answer your question, right? He wanted the whole world to understand what has gone on in recruiting there at Alabama, supposedly. I'm not big on who's one and who's two and five stars.
Sure.
I'm just not big on that kind of stuff, though. He's wanting to know, you know, he's wanting the people to know what has come down to this point in time. And from this point in time, now I don't know exactly, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen after that. That's the only thing I can think of why he did it then. I'm not sure.
Is it an important Auburn person that is walking past you right now?
Do what?
Is it an important Auburn person that's walking past you right now?
No, he just came in the room to bring me some Auburn gear. No, he didn't make Auburn gear. He didn't bring me any Auburn gear, but they always bring you a lot of T-shirts and stuff. They don't say Auburn on. He's doing. Jimmy's been doing this for a number of years because he's, you know, he's made a lot of money to send people, kids to college, and for some reason, Sonny Smith and I got the idea, and Sonny's kind of slow down a little bit of emceeing it. That's all I do. I just emcee it and try
sure.
to. I'm not any great emcee. I just kind of, my problem is I tell them like I think. I tell them what I think, and they sometimes they don't like that.
Absolutely, it's great. That's why we love having you on. And Coach, as you are each and every week, brought to us by Coca-Cola and Piggly Wiggly.
Well, I appreciate the Coke and Piggly Wiggly, and Piggly Wiggly are great people there. Great places to go in and visit and shop. They're clean. They got that family atmosphere. And Stanley and Andy do a great job. And I appreciate them taking the time to let me be on this 12, 15 minutes. I appreciate you guys having me on. And y'all have a good day and a good week. And I look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you then. Wimp Sanderson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste when there's fun. Bud Light is there. It's cool to hear Coach saying that all the Auburn dignitaries are down at this golf tournament.
All.
Every
all of
one of them.
All of them.
Everybody who's accomplished anything after being a part of an Auburn athletic team is down there at Jimmy Rain's golf tournament this weekend. All of them, especially the ones in the media.
Every single one of them.
The Mavs fell to the Golden State Warriors last night, 112-87, taking game one. They have a one-game lead, 25-point win. Luka went for 20. Steph went for 21-12. That's your NBA update for today. Auburn's got Kentucky today at 5:30 on the SEC Network Plus in baseball. Arkansas's at Alabama, 6 o'clock on Plus. Number one Tennessee is at Mississippi State at 6 as well. SEC Network Plus. Your softball regionals begin today. Chattanooga's at Alabama, 3 p.m. on the SEC Network, and ULL at Auburn. That's a 1:30 start on ESPN+. 12 SEC softball teams in action today, starting their regionals, and then all 14 SEC baseball teams facing off against one another today as well. So a lot of SEC action in both softball and baseball coming up tonight. The Braves fell to the Brewers 7-6 last night. Yankees 3-2 over the Orioles. Garrett Cole goes to 4-0. 7 innings, 2 hits, 5 strikeouts. So now that we got all that out of the way, we can go back into Nick Saban, NIL, and Fire Marshal Nil that we heard from last night. We will continue doing that. Open up the phones. Go to the Twitter feed, 800-239-9569. Get you on the Bud Light Hotline. At Mac and Cube, if you would like to correspond via Twitter, and that's always brought to you by our friends at Royal Buick GMC, is where you can do it right after this. Next on Jocks 94.5. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kublik in the morning. FanDuel has Alabama currently as a 16-point favorite against Texas A&M this upcoming season. 16.
Okay.
And that was one thing. I was listening to you and Landrum on the way in today, you know, talking about getting hyped up and this is big and this will motivate. I don't really – I mean, I looked at that game last year as one that could be very problematic for Alabama. That was a great D-line against an offensive line that has some issues. You had some speed in certain places that could be problematic. But you had an offensive line to be able to handle some of what Alabama had up front, Mathis Anderson. And, you know, coach with some familiarity that was going to help out a little bit. I don't really view that game as being super dangerous for Alabama this year. Nope. I just don't. But then again, I've been on record multiple times saying I'm not a guy that's going to have A&M in my top five going into the year. Like I'm not there with them right now.
Right.
I think they can be good. I don't know how folks can watch what they watched last year and say that it's just going to be
thank you
X amount better than it was last year, because last year you were a lot more talented, a lot. I don't care how many five stars you just signed.
Thank you.
I don't care. I don't anticipate those guys are going to come in and make a massive difference. I just don't. And so when you're talking about a team, and we forget this. You know, this is where we go wrong with so many different things. A&M was 8-4. Arkansas was 9-4 last year.
Uh-huh.
South Carolina was 7-6. So I
Yep. I'd said the same thing. I went back and watched the Ole Miss and Texas A&M game from last year. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, even – like I had the same thought as you. Even with all these five stars coming in this year, what in that game, just that one game –
that wasn't the one to watch to try to, conjure up good feelings about what A&M
exactly.
is going to be this
year.
Exactly.
I'm like, ooh, like this was bad. Ole Miss was, 97th ranked on defense, but shut them out the entire, for pretty much three quarters?
That's one of those games that I felt like A&M should have been able to hand the ball off on every play and win that game.
Oh, and boy.
It's just kind of the way I felt it should have gone.
Mm-hmm.
And
they did not show up.
Kind of didn't happen that way.
Nope.
29 carries, 141 yards in that game. Not enough to be able to pull it off. So, listen, we got a lot of other stuff going on that we haven't gotten to. Georgia Tech is going to get former Clemson quarterback Tyson Pumachon. He's going to transfer in. Georgia Tech also gets former South Carolina and FCS transfer receiver tight end E.J. Jenkins, who I thought was going to be really nice for South Carolina last year, but they got a boatload of tight ends now, so Jenkins on his way out. Those are two really nice gets for Georgia Tech. Now, Georgia Tech is set at quarterback right this second. So you're not going to have to worry about somebody having to come in and play right now. You add some depth, and Jeff Sims going to be back, and he'll be able to handle things. Alabama A&M gets Michigan State defensive back Donovan English. He transfers over. The Gamecocks also adding Freddie Kitchens as a senior football analyst. So that's a nice get for Beamer. That's a former NFL head coach. Think about that. Played quarterback in the league as well. So a really nice offensive mind being added to the staff there in South Carolina. And Arizona State wide receiver L.V. Bunkley Shelton. I don't know if that's Roman numerals, by the way.
That's man, come on.
It could be. I could have totally botched that.
Come on, L.V. What is that? Roman numerals. You got it.
55.
So I'm like, your guess is good as mine. We'll go with it.
So former Arizona State receiver 55, Bunkley Shelton, has committed to Oklahoma.
There. All right.
Some other news for the day. Just hammering all that out. All right. Hastings is on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in, Hastings.
Hey, guys. Great show today. A lot of interesting content that really stemmed off one interview. But I'm going to say this. Facts and opinions. How many?
That's all we have here on the show, by the way. We've said it multiple times.
This is all we have on this show. And I think Nick Saban last night threw out facts and opinions. And he has been asked about this since it started. And he gave his opinion. And now everyone wants to come out of the woodworks and call him a hypocrite and say, well, Bama's been paying players for years since Wallace Wade was there. Yeah, okay, that's great. That's great. And they talk about him being a hypocrite. These individuals are probably the same hypocrites who are mad at him now that have been yelling about the James Madison situation for 3 weeks. They're the same individuals who sat there when the transfer portal was released and saying, oh, well, Nick Saban said it's a bad thing. This is going to even out the playing field. And then the same ones who are sitting there and like, well, Nick Saban's talking about parity. He didn't want any parity. Nick Saban, in my opinion, when he was talking about parity, guys, was not talking about Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia. Nick Saban, when he's talking about parity, is talking about your Michigan states last year. He's talking about your Iowa states, your Oklahoma states, your Iowa, the teams that aren't going to have the funding in order to compete with these upper echelon high-profile players or high-profile programs. And everyone is mad at him for sharing his opinion when at the end of the day, it's not like this is a new opinion. Dabo Swinney said something about it. Mack Brown said something about it. Lane Kiffin said something about it. Heck, the Louisville coach said something about it last week, and that was just blown off. But everyone wants to know Nick Saban's opinion, and then when he gives one, come at him like it's the worst thing that's happened in college sports. And I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of tired of the negative twist and connotations that's put on a sport that I love. And that surrounding, and all that does is affect the players, the coaches, and the fans. This is a positive thing. And I think Nick Saban's right. I think that it will change the landscape of college football. And what's sad to me is, Colin, I think you made a really, really good point when you said majority of your players are not going to go pro in the NFL, in the NCAA, or in the NBA, the MLB. Majority of these players gain so much benefit from just the name, image, and likeness beyond the fact of getting millions of dollars from a professional sport. You use the medical sales reference and how you are able to get in and talk with people and individuals wanted your opinion. That's something that might be lost throughout this entirety of what's going on right here. And I'm not upset with the NIL, and I think it's a really, really good thing. But I think people are putting this under a microscope when, at the end of the day, it's going to benefit such a minute amount of players. And I think you said it right. It will even out. You know, all these boosters coming out paying $1 million, and then the player, because Texas A&M recruiting class, there's going to be several players, Cole, who don't actually end up playing, who's going to have a really, really bad taste in their mouth, transfer. And then these boosters are like, okay, well, shame on me, or fool me once, shame on me, or shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. They're not going to continue to drop amounts of money into these players before they actually perform. I think Nick Saban is just saying that we need to get some reins in, and if you listen to Gojo and JD from Huntsville actually reference this as well, Nick Saban didn't say, hey, I'm not going to go out there and adapt. All Nick Saban said was, we can't sustain what we're doing currently, and the college football model can't sustain what they're doing currently if we continue down this road. And I don't think that, you know, all the Bama haters, the marks and everything just coming out and going out of the woodworks for Nick Saban. Yeah, okay, everyone hates Nick Saban who's not an Alabama fan, or you respect him. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at this, you're going to hurt more programs who aren't the high-profile programs and the ones who aren't necessarily have the brand or the money to compete. And I think that's what he's making a warning at, rather than saying, hey, we're just going to get beat now and give up. I don't think that's the case at all. But when you iron it out, it could be detrimental unless reins are put in, because they said the same thing about the transfer portal. And what do we do? If we don't have Jameson Williams last year, are you here to tell me that we're going to be in the national championship? I don't think so. And he went out there and executed. And so, you know, I think that there should be some reins put in. I'm not sure, you know, how you can even legislate that. Or go back, and you can't put the monkey inside the bag again. But based on my opinion, guys, I don't think he said anything wrong. I think everyone asked for his opinion. I think he gave his opinion, and now everyone wants to come out and have something to say when all he was doing was expressing what he thought the direction of college football might go and his concerns. So appreciate you guys taking my call today. Hope you all have a wonderful show going on, and hopefully we can move forward and look at college athletics as a positive thing. Also, Cole, the answer for me, I know that this is hated probably, but Triscuit. So.
No.
Oh, wow. Oh, buddy.
Ban him.
Oh,
from
man.
The show.
Dang, Hastings.
Ban his number.
It was fun. He was rolling.
One of our best callers.
Yeah.
Until that last sentence.
Ouch.
And then he crashed and burned.
Ouch.
If you missed that, it's our no context poll question of the day, kind of going back to our conversation we had with Michael Jr. He said yesterday that he cannot eat a single box of Wheat Thins, or cannot have less than the whole box. I'm with him. No context poll question of the day. Wheat Thins, Ritz, Saltines, Triscuit. Triscuit not in last play.
Really?
5.9%. Saltines, 3.9%.
Understandable.
Ritz, 53%.
Yes, sir.
And a bit of a blowout win. Kind of an unfair. I would probably take still Wheat Thins over Ritz, though. Wheat Thins kind of the outlier on those. Well, Triscuit's the outlier on everything because it's literally like eating rug in the hallway here. But I thought that the whole – we talked about this in the break. I thought the whole Saltines medical aspect would come into play.
Exactly.
And some people would say that because you heard Golic Jr. say that, you know, he has Saltines when he's sick.
Exactly.
And it's so real. It's such a real thing. I mean, it's like your tummy hurts. I can have Saltines. And I mean, for me, it's Saltines and Sprite.
That's it.
I don't want anything else. And there's no way with all that syrup and sugar, Sprite can really be good for an upset stomach. That's
exactly.
Not real.
Exactly.
It's not. It's kind of like when I get a cold, I think I need to drink more orange juice. I'm like, oh, I'll get that vitamin C in. And now I have the little packs with like the vitamin C pack. And I'll dump like three of those in a 12-ounce bottle of water. And it's horrible. It tastes terrible. But I'm like, oh, God, more vitamin C. I got to get
it.
Better. And I don't think it does anything. Nothing.
Getting that immune
system. I'm not sure
set.
Saltines does anything for an upset stomach.
Hadn't seen any medical research about it.
It's kind of like once you start feeling better, your mom or whoever.
That's
like,
it.
Your wife, you know, hey, you're starting to feel better. Let me make you some. Oh, I had some saltines.
I'm
okay.
Yeah, I had some crackers.
This was saltines are for sick. And chili.
That's it.
There's nothing else. Maybe chicken noodle soup. That's it. We'll just say.
That's about
we'll
it.
Say, I don't really qualify chili as a soup, but we'll say soups plural.
And
we'll
you.
Sort of group chili into that. Sick and soups for saltines. That's it. Nobody else eats those.
No other purpose.
Now, I would go over any of these. You know, I would go with the. You know, we didn't include club crackers, which.
Oh, man. I could.
Probably need to be
yes
included there, but they're not. So Ritz, your go-away leader, runaway leader right now. Steve is in Trustville, wants to join us on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in, Steve.
Thank you, sir. Well, since Hastings pretty much took everything I was going to say, except for a few things, I'll go club.
Wait, you were going to say that you would choose Triscuits over Saltines, Ritz, and Wheat Thins?
No.
I was about to say, I got to ban two callers today?
No, I take club crackers. With a little bit of cream cheese between two of them, wrapped in bacon.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
Oh my! Hold on now.
Now we have really gone off the deep end. That sounds fantastic, by the way.
Okay.
And I'll say this: Captain's wafers over all of those.
Man,
my grandfather my grandfather drove a Chevy Impala. It was gold. It had the bench seat in the front, four door.
Man.
And I remember it was that old school kind of crank glove compartment, and it would fold down. And my grandfather played a lot of golf, and at his club, they had those crackers. He would just grab packs of them and put them in his
That's it.
In his glove compartment. I would always open that when I was a little kid and grab like two or three packs. Like I knew they were going to be there. I always knew it. And now I think the wheat ones are better than the regular ones.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying. Just saying.
Also get a health benefit.
My granddad would do that. Then he would take potted meat and put it on the cracker when we would go fishing as kids. So I remember that.
There you go. Absolutely. All right. So anything else that wasn't stolen from the previous car you want to get out?
Yeah. One other thing. I agree with him about the negativity. You know, to me, unless you have irrefutable proof that this coach or that coach or this school or that school has been cheating, you know, it just don't even bring it up. You know, all it does is just make you sound like you don't know anything. I mean, Danny Sheridan told Paul that years back when he said that, Cam Newton's dad, he knows the bag man. Well, none of that was true. You just ruined the school's reputation and a kid's reputation for nothing.
Yeah, I will say this, though. I don't think that he was necessarily accusing them of doing anything wrong. I think he was just saying this happened and – do we really want to continue going down this path? That's the way that I took it, Steve. So I don't know. Maybe.
No, I was talking about a caller who called in and said that Nick Saban's been cheating for years.
Gotcha.
And, you know, that's all it was.
And a couple callers said that apparently they're the only ones that have been allowed to cheat. I mean, I don't understand where we are and some of that stuff. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the call. 800-239-9569. 800-239-WJOX. Go to the Twitter feed. A lot of you guys have been chiming in across the course of the show. And Bueller tweets in, by the way. This is brought to you by our friends at Royal Buick GMC. 2 minutes ago, at Mac and QB can tweet in. Crap, I took a phone and missed the last statement. Dude said, what did he say? He said he would choose Triscuits over,
over
Wheat Thins, Ritz. Saltines, and Ritz. That gets you banned from the show.
That's
If you admit on this show that you like to eat bark off a tree, then you're gone.
Pretty much.
I don't care if it's tomato basil or garlic spice.
Don't care.
Whatever it is.
Oh, you're going to spicing up your bark.
Yeah. I mean, you could take Oreo cream and go put it on tree bark, and it's not going to be good.
No.
So it doesn't matter. Triscuits are disgusting, and nothing is going to change my mind. It's like you know, that old wicker furniture that your grandparents had. It's like ripping that up and eating it is what it is.
Goodness gracious.
It's disgusting.
It's not big Triscuit.
It's gross. Nick Saban's NIL general manager tweeting in, I'm a Bama fan, but let's be honest. If I'm 18, a five-star, why on earth would I choose a school in Mississippi, Alabama, et cetera, when Miami and USC are right there and I can make $$? Again, we see this in pro sports all the time. I mean, I would think the winning games, number one.
Thank you.
Which the other two have not proven that they can do a lot of recently.
Consistently.
Getting to the NFL would be two.
Uh-huh.
And they're not right there. I mean, technically on opposite ends of the continent.
The nation.
So, yeah, those would be a couple that I might throw in. Yeah. Just kind of saying. Dr. Necessary Evil tweets in. He's got some things to say about this entire situation. He's been in all day.
He's been preparing for this. He was locked in.
Yeah, he was ready to chime in early this morning. And he's tweeting a couple different things. At Mac and Cube, you want to know why Nick is complaining right now? Because there are the five-star recruits that are leaning towards Texas A&M. Nick used to come to Texas and get these players like Waddle, and now he isn't. Nick wants parity because then he could pay under the table. I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that. I agree with what Hastings said about parity, that Saban wasn't referencing Ohio State, LSU, even USC, Miami. I think there are a lot of other schools that he was referencing then that he knows are about to get left behind. So, you know. Roger Cuttigan tweets in, tear the club up is 100% all Bama fans move this morning. Let's
absolutely.
Go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Greg Skipworth tweets in, college football is not indestructible. Just look at NASCAR. Actually, go find our podcast with Ryan McGee that we did a couple weeks ago, and you'll have a great parallel conversation that took place between those. Mm-hmm. Luke Bailey tweets in, Saban knows he can say whatever because he's going to run through the 22 college football season like not going to be repeated on these airwaves. He thinks it's going to be a completely dominant year by Alabama. Greg tweets in, Coach Saban is warning us to fix NIL or he's going to take it to the next level.
Okay. It's fair.
Nathan tweets in, do y'all ever do the show together? At Greg McElroy on vacation again. Yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Yeah, did that.
That's fact.
So I'm not sure when the last time you tuned in, but it was yesterday. Like the day before today was the last time that took place. So, yeah. All right, we'll get to a break. Nick Saban going Fire Marshal nil on a couple of schools. We'll run through them one more time and get your thoughts next, right here on McElroy and Kubik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Jimbo Fisher has called an impromptu press conference in 11 minutes. Now, we know what this most likely is in reference to, what he's going to want to address. Question is, how will he address it? Will we get more of this that we heard from Jimbo after signing day?
I'll tell you what. I know how some of those guys recruit, too. Go dig into that. I know the history. I know the tradition. I know things. Trust me, you don't want to go down that avenue. It's ridiculous. And it's irresponsible. And it's unbelievable. I ain't just talking about one.
He knows things.
He knows it. He knows how to recruit.
I know this. Benjamin Franklin, the punctual plumber, is always going to be there for you. Phone going to be answered 24 hours a day by a real person. Everyone on staff license, multiple master plumbers on staff. Office staff worked together over 15 years. You're always going to be talking to a familiar voice. Lee, Chris, Susan, Jeff, they've been in that office for over 15 years together. Everyone drug tested, background checked. If there's any delay, it's you they pay. They offer a major discount or no charge if they're late outside the time frame given when you schedule an appointment. Water leak repair, they unstop all drain sewer lines, replacement all water drain lines, bathroom remodels as well. All of Benjamin Franklin the Punctual Plumber. And no extra fees for after hours, weekend, holiday service. Any plumbing issues that you have, commercial, residential, Benjamin Franklin the Punctual Plumber is who you need to call. 205-982-7775, 205-982-7775, or go to BenjaminFranklinPlumbing.com. So this Jimbo press conference coming, and I don't know what we're going to get from him. I don't know how far in he's going to go with this entire deal. Is this necessary? Did Jimbo even need to do this? We talked about the last time he decided to come out, say things, have things to say, do things that it felt unnecessary because he was mad about his guys not doing anything wrong. There was no issue with what was taking place. It was all above board.
Yeah.
So, now obviously you're going to get a 10 a.m. media availability with Texas A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher at the Kyle Field Media Center. I'll round them up quick.
Right. All right.
Media availability, or is he just going to go talk? I'm sure there are guys that cover the team that are there that are close. Like Texas is across the street. They'll have people there.
It's
like a 50-yard walk. They'll get some folks there. But be interested to see what Jimbo's response is to what Nick Saban said, referencing A&M by name. And if you missed where Nick Saban actually went full fire marshal nil, full scorched earth, full flamethrower.
Let me show you something!
At an event for the World Games last night, he had this to say about Texas A&M.
I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. Right, we didn't buy one player.
Went on to say this about Deion Sanders, Travis Hunter, and Jackson State.
I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it.
And
Full
fire marshal bill on Miami and everything going on down there.
I mean, these guys at Miami that are going to play basketball there for $400,000, it's in the newspaper. The guy tells you how he's doing it.
So that was at a World Games event last night that apparently, allegedly, I've been told via direct message on social media that it was $1,000 per seat, and a $5,000 VIP option was also attached to that. That was also possible. And Mike Rodak will tweet the article out from Rodak from the Mac and Cube account, because he told us that he was going to have an article up about what Nate Oates had to say and kind of where Nate went with everything. And that article is up now. And it was a little bit of a different direction from Nate. And if you think about, like Mike kind of said, the crowd that was there may have been who they were talking to. Nato's quote, "We're in recruiting now and kids ask us about it. We're not allowed to promise a kid X amount of anything to come here, but they want to know what current kids got, what current kids last year got, what's going to happen on the roster. If you don't have pretty good answers for them, you're going to have a hard time recruiting a good roster in today's market. That's the way it is." David, quickly on a sale, talking Nick Saban, you're on the Bud Light Hotline.
Hey.
Hey. Oh.
Do you remember E.F. Hutton commercials?
The Dynamics or Dynamite or Dyna, what was it?
E.F. Hutton.
Dynamics. The book?
Investment company.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. What was the book, the Scientology book? That's what I was thinking of, sorry, with the volcano. No.
Let me tell you about it. All right, E.F. Hutton was an investment company, and they had a great commercial. And you got these two guys sitting in a restaurant, and they're talking about investments. And one guy says, "My broker is E.F. Hutton." And when E.F., and here's what E.F. Hutton says, and everything stops, and everybody's listening. The whole restaurant stops. And then the guy says, "When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen." Well, Saban has talked.
There you go. And people will listen. I was thinking of Dynetics Ron L. Hubbard, or L. Ron Hubbard, excuse me.
Okay. I was so confused. Like, what? Huh? Like,
a little off there.
Huh?
I don't think Dynetics or L. Ron Hubbard would have anything for NIL. But we'll find out. Three-man front's going to be interesting coming up right after this.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.